continually occurring within you, but it is so complex that your conscious thinking mechanism cannot sort it all out. But your inner being can sort it out and can offer you emotion. And so all that is required is that you pay attention to the way that you feel and you let yourself be drawn to those things that feel good or right to you, while you let yourself move away from those things that do not. When you have practiced this a bit, you will find yourself in the very early stages knowing when you are interacting with another being, whether you're wanting to invite them into your experience through your thought, word, and action, or whether to not invite them by giving your attention someplace else.
I can see the robber being attracted to the person they are robbing, but it's difficult to see the victim, as they're called, attracting the robber to them.
But they are just the same. The victim and the assaulter are co-creators of the event.
So one's thinking about what they don't want and getting it, and the other thinking about what they do want and getting
it. That is correct. The subject of your attention is that which attracts. That is why we say to you, that which you really, really want, you get. And that which you really, really don't want, you get. And the way you do not get powerful emotional thought is by not thinking the first not so powerful thought that is added to by law of attraction.
Yeah.
You read in the paper that someone has been robbed. Unless you read a detailed account that brings forth great emotion within you, reading the account or hearing of it will not necessarily put you in the attracting mode. But as you read it and discuss it with another, and then see it reported upon the television, until you become emotionally involved, then you become an attractor for such an experience. That is why your statistics say that 1 out of 5 will be robbed this year. It is because they do such a good job of stimulating your thought to the awareness of that, bringing it to you again and again until you not only think of it with emotion, but you expect it. It is no wonder that you get so many of the things you do not want. You give so much of your attention to the things that you do not want. We would recommend that if you hear of it, that you say, that is their experience. I choose not that. And release the thought and think of what you do want. Relationships are co-creating, you see. You are wanting to put your thoughts forth to attract others, that the merging of your thoughts may attract some experiences that you share. As you are giving thought to that which you do not want, you are powerful in your attraction of it.
I recall as a kid I had very poor health and was very weak, and I decided to build up my body and then learned how to defend myself and practiced it and got very good at it. And from the time I was a teenager until I was 33 years old, there was seldom a week that went by that I didn't have what we called a fist fight, that I didn't hit somebody in the face. Then my 33rd year, I made some decisions that I was going to stop taking revenge and so on and so forth. And since then, I have not hit one person. In other words, all those people that I thought were picking fights and starting fights with me, now that I don't practice for it anymore, they never come around.
You, in your 33rd year, changed the direction of your attraction.
Yes.
We have a question for you.
Yes.
Was there momentum involved, or was your clear conscious decision enough to change the attracting?
Well, in that case, it was not momentum. I quit.
Good.
That's true, I quit.
An answer to your own question. There is a word, prejudice, and it is most often felt that there are those who do not like certain things about other beings, and in their dislike for those characteristics, there is great problem that is caused. We want to point out that it is not only the doing of the one who is accused of being prejudiced. More often, the one who feels prejudiced against is the most powerful creator in that experience. The being who feels that others do not like him for whatever reason, whether it is religion or race, color, no matter what the reason is that he feels that he is being prejudiced against, it is more often his attention to the subject that attracts his trouble than it is those from whom he attracts it.
There's a statement that doesn't seem to blend with what we've heard from you, and that is that opposites attract. And so that's different than like attracting like. Like an outgoing man will marry a shy woman, or an outgoing woman will be attracted to a shy man.
Let us introduce the word harmony here, for it is important in the understanding of this. When two are exactly the same, then their intentions cannot be fulfilled. In other words, one who is wanting to sell does not do well to attract another seller. But the attracting of a buyer brings forth the harmony. It is a different subject. You see, it is the intent that is doing the attraction. The shy man attracts an outgoing woman because what he is wanting is to be more outgoing, and so he is actually attracting the subject of his wanting. That which he does not see in himself, he attracts in the other.
How is it that some people attract something they've really, really wanted, and then when it comes, they find it to be a very negative situation? It brings them pain.
Ordinarily, it is not that what they have wanted and attracted brings them pain. It is that they have not been clear enough or specific enough, and so they have attracted something else as well. It is attracted out of confusion more than out of specific wanting.
Okay, that makes sense.
That is the value of the workshop. When you get into your workshop, visualizing all of the possibilities, letting your emotion come forth when you are touching upon that which you are really wanting, and then working upon that, staying focused there, then you will not have so much of that.
Is everything and everyone, is every world composed of thought or by thought? Or neither?
Both. Thought is the stuff or the vehicle through which all things are attracted or moved about. See the world or the universe,
mm-hmm.
both,
mm-hmm.
as a sort of well-stocked kitchen where every possible ingredient that has ever been pondered, considered, thought, wanted, exists
mm-hmm.
in abundant, never-ending quantity. And you are the chef,
mm-hmm.
soliciting forth from the shelves of your kitchen in whatever quantity you desire, and you are mixing it all together for the creation of your cake.
Mm-hmm. If someone would say to you, Abraham, how can I use what you're teaching to attract more joy and happiness and harmony into my life?
It is a very good question. We could have saved many words if all we say to you is seek joy. And if the wanting of joy was really important to you, then you would not allow yourself to think the thoughts that did not bring it forth. And you would automatically focus upon the thoughts that did. And it would bring about the same results for you. Certainly the seeking of joy is a very good choice and a very good path, and would bring you to a great, fulfilled, productive, creative life experience. So many of you do not understand where joy comes from or why it comes. You think you are victims living life by chance. You think there is fate or luck. And there is none of that. There is only the application of law, either intentionally or by default.
Some would say to want to be joyous all the time is a very selfish way to want to be, as though it's a negative.
Selfishness is sense of self, picture of self. Whether you think it is a positive or a negative term, it is from yourself or from your selfishness or from your picture of self that you attract. And so you define the way you see self, and from that point of view, you attract. Therefore, we would encourage your picture of self, your attitude of selfishness, to be that of what you choose. If that is selfishness, then we are all for it.
So you would see as much right and as much joy involved in giving as in receiving. In other words, they could be equally good and equally joyous, giving or receiving. You don't see one as morally superior to the other.
That is correct. We have spent most of this recording time talking about how to get what you want, teaching you about your guidance system to assist you in getting what you want, showing you a workshop to assist you in knowing what you want. And yet many of you do not feel worthy of being the one to decide. You are looking outside of self for one who makes the decisions about what is right and wrong. And you allow yourself to want only that which they say you should want. That is the reason we see you in such a state of confusion, for what they say is a very great variable. You are the creator of your experience, and your work, your reason for being here, is to define what you want and then to understand the laws and apply them in order to get it. There are as many different worlds here as there are perceivers or beings or individuals. You are not here to create one world where everyone is same, wanting and getting same. You are here to be that which you are wanting to be, while you allow all others to be that which they are wanting to be.
Let me play the part of the devil's advocate here, so to speak. So, if all these selfish beings on the planet are getting what they want, what kind of mess would this world be?
It would not be and is not a mess at all. For by law of attraction, they would attract unto them those who are in harmony with their intent. You see, this is a very well-balanced place in which you live. There is some of everything here in enough proportion, in enough abundance, and in enough difference to give you all of the ingredients for this vast and marvelous kitchen that you have come to participate within.
What would make it painless? I have a joyous life, but I see a lot of agony around me.
You cannot create in the experience of another because you cannot think their thoughts. And it is their thought that they are thinking, or the word that they are speaking, or the act that they are doing that is bringing forth the emotional response from their inner being. They are creating their own agony by giving thought to that which they do not want. Now, what you can do for them is set the example of joy, become a being who thinks only that which he is wanting, that speaks of only that which he is wanting, that does only that which he is wanting, and therefore brings forth only joyful emotion. Therefore, you would be an example of joy.
So I can do that, and I can focus on what I'm wanting, that joy, and I can allow them to have whatever experience they want to have. Because if I focus on their painful experience, I will now create pain in my own experience.
That is correct.
And I'll be setting that example.
That is correct.
And so the key is just continue to seek joy myself, set that example, and allow others, really allow them, to have whatever experience they're creating for themselves.
You will know when you have reached the point of allowing them to be or do or have whatever they want, when as you are aware that they are doing it, you are not feeling negative emotion about it. When you are allower, you are feeling joy, observing the experience of all. You have come full circle with your questions in helping us explain the three laws that are so very important. For as you understand this important law of attraction and understand the deliberate process for creating, giving thought in the direction of what is wanted, to the point that you have great, powerful emotion that comes forth from inner being, then you are understanding that you need not bring into your experience anything that you are not wanting. And then you will be allower. For then you will not be threatened by others, for you will recognize that even as they sit in the same room with you, as you do not give your attention to what you do not want, they will not be a part of your experience.
So how can we have a thought about something that's negative and not have an emotional response to it?
You cannot. And we would not suggest that you try. In other words, to say never have negative emotion would be the same as saying pay no attention to your guidance system, and that is not what we are saying. The key is, as you are having a little thought, you will have a little negative emotion.
Yes.
And if you are sensitive to the way that you feel, you will change the thought.
Yes.
And it is easy to do when it is a small thought.
Yes.
And a small emotion.
Yes.
It is much harder when it is a big thought and a big emotion. And the emotion will be proportionate in power to the amount of thought that you have amassed by law of attraction. The longer you stay focused upon what you do not want, the greater and more powerful that thought will become. And so as you are sensitive to your emotions, and you get off the subject very quickly, then you will not gather the power, you see.
Could you, in this last few moments or minutes, give us some words that we could use to help attract to us a variety of things like perfect health?
I want perfect health.
Perfect prosperity.
I want prosperity.
Great relationships.
I want great relationships.
Positive, non-physical experiences.
I'm wanting to attract those who are in harmony with me, physical and non-physical.
And continual joyous growth.
I am growth-seeking being.
And that attracts it.
I am healthy. I am prosperous. I am happy. I am filled with joy. I am interacting with those who are in harmony. I am, I am, I am. As you see yourself as that, it is from that magnetic base that you will attract more.
What do you see as a mark of success?
There are many trophies or measures that you use here. Certainly the attraction of your dollars you use as standard, or your attraction of trophies. But from our perspective, the positive emotion that you feel is the greatest measure of success. As you want something and achieve it, you also achieve a new perspective from which you will want. The things that have satisfied you before will not likely satisfy you for very long, because you are inherently growth-seeking and you cannot remain in the same place and have growth also. And so the way that you feel is the indicator. Let your emotions be your guide. They are the most wonderful of guidance system. We are amused as we watch the majority spending most of their life seeking a set of rules against which they can measure their life experience, looking outside of self for those who will tell them what is right or wrong, when all along they have within them a guidance system that is so sophisticated, so intricate, so exact, so precise, so appropriate. A system that can analyze in an instant everything that they are wanting to be from total perspective, everything that they are wanting from current physical conscious perspective, and everything that is taking place around them in their current environment, and offer them an emotion to let them know the appropriateness of whatever is happening. The appropriateness, in fact, of every thought, every word, every interaction. Such a wonderful guidance system, not utilized by but a few of you. It is our reason for interacting with you, to acquaint you with the total you, so that you may begin utilizing that broader, fuller, wiser, all-knowing perspective, so that you may use the God force that comes forth from within for the creating. What more?
I'm complete.
We've enjoyed very much interacting upon this topic, for it is most important in the understanding of why you are here and how to be that which you have intended. Each of you, from your non-physical perspective, before you emerged into this physical expression of life, intended to have growth and you intended to access this guidance system from within to assist you in your growth. And we have come forth to remind you that it exists and to teach you or offer you the process. There is great love here.
Thank you.
We are complete.
Thank you very much.
And this concludes the Law of Attraction. Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is The Science of Deliberate Creation. This is a recording entitled The Law of Deliberate Creation, and this is the third recording in Abraham's first Special Subjects album. It was originally received in 1988. All recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous, co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abrahamhicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com. And now, Esther will take a moment to quiet her conscious thinking mind as she invites Abraham, the group of non-physical teachers, to speak this material through her to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are pleased to interact with you upon this selected title, The Deliberate Creative Process. There is perhaps not a subject of greater importance, for upon this recording, it is our desire to impart the process for the receiving, the deliberate receiving of whatever it is that you are wanting upon any number of subjects. We have put emphasis upon the word deliberate, for it is our absolute knowing that without exception, each of you as individuals are already attracting to you whatever it is you are getting. There is not an exception to that. Through your thoughts and through your words and through your actions, your words and actions being extensions of your thought, you are attracting everything that you are getting. In short, you invite into your experience through thought. The purpose of this recording is to help you understand how you are getting what you are getting, so that you may be more definitive in your attracting of it, that you may attract those things, more of those things, or all of those things that you are wanting, while you may avoid the attraction of those things which you are not wanting. Always, as we begin to impart our knowledge regarding the deliberate creative process, we meet with resistance, for there are always those who have things in their life experience that they do not want to be there. And so as they hear us say, all things are invited by you, the resistance comes forth, for they say, Abraham, I would not have invited this, for I want it not. And so we must clarify, we do not believe that you have invited it or attracted it or created it on purpose. But we will say to you, you are the inviter, the attractor, the creator of it, for you have done it by giving thought to it. We will say in most cases you are doing it by default. You are applying laws and processes that you do not understand, reaping results
benefits or disadvantages that you do not understand, and so that is why we have come forth to speak to you the universal laws that you may understand how you're getting what you're getting, so that you may have some deliberate control in the attraction of that which you are getting. Because most physical beings are not well attuned to the existence of the non-physical world, they want to make everything explainable through physical perception. We would draw a comparison as you are wanting a glass of water. And so you go to your faucet in your kitchen, turn a little knob, hold your glass beneath the faucet, and then you would explain to others, this is where the water comes from.
Right.
While you understand, without our explaining, that there is much more to the story of where the water is coming from. And so it is with all things that you are experiencing in your physical setting. You are explaining only a little bit of what makes things happen. And we are here to explain to you the rest of it. You have emerged into a physical dimension from your broader non-physical perspective with great intent and purpose. You have come forth because you are first wanting very much this physical experience. It is not the first of such experiences. You have had many physical as well as non-physical life experiences. And you have emerged into this one because you are wanting to add to that continuing, evolving being that you really are. A being that through these eyes you may not see. A being that through this body and through these physical senses you may not now know. But a being, indeed a part of you, a broader, expansive, growth-seeking, joy-seeking, evolving you. The purpose of this recording is to help you understand that you and you alone are the creator of your experience, that you may be more deliberate in that creation. The reason that we are introducing you to the inner you is because you have agreed to interact with that inner you for the sake of guidance. You may have noticed that as you emerged into this life experience, you did not bring with you memory of that which you have lived before. And there is good reason for that. For you would find yourself spending more time focused into your very vast past than in this very brief now. And so in order to get the most out of the now, you are not remembering all of that past. You may, however, have access to the advantage of the total you by recognizing that that total you exists, and by recognizing that that total you, we refer to it as your inner being, communicates with you and has done from the day you emerged into this physical body. That communication has many varieties, but all of you are receiving the basic communication that comes forth in the form of emotion. All emotion that you feel, without exception, is communication from your inner being, letting you know the appropriateness of whatever you are thinking or speaking or acting in the moment. As you think a thought that is not in harmony with your overall intents, as you do something or say something that is not in harmony with who you are and what you are wanting, your inner being will offer you negative emotion. And in like way, when you are speaking or thinking or acting in the direction of that which is in harmony with your intentions, your inner being will offer you positive emotions. There are only two emotions. One feels good and one feels bad. You call them all sorts of different things, depending upon the situation that brought them forth. But as you recognize that this guidance system that comes forth from within you in the form of emotion speaks to you from broader, all-inclusive perspective, then you will recognize that you have the benefit of the intentions that you hold here today. You have the benefit of the intentions that you emerged into this physical body with. You have the ability to factor in all the details of your wants and your beliefs in order to make the absolute appropriate decision at any point in time. The greatest resistance that we are receiving from those we are interacting with here in your environment is that they are not trusting that which comes forth from within them is the real law or the real rule. They are worried that there is some greater judgment that they may not be receiving. They are afraid to move forward trusting their own guidance, their own conscience, so to speak, because they believe that there may be someone who knows more clearly what is appropriate for them, which is amazing to us, for it is our knowing that which comes forth from within you is all that you may trust. But instead, they are spending most of their physical lifetime seeking a set of rules or a set of people, a religious group, if you will, who will tell them what is right and wrong. And then they spend the rest of their physical experience trying to hammer a square peg into a round hole, trying to make those rules, usually rules that were written thousands of years before this time, fit into this life experience. As a result, what we see for the most part is frustration and at best confusion. And we also have noticed that there are many who die every year as they are arguing about whose set of rules is most appropriate. We say to you that overall, all-inclusive, never-changing set of rules does not exist. For you are ever-changing, growth-seeking beings. If your house were on fire and the firemen came with their truck, that marvelous equipment with the big long hoses and all of the water surging through, and put the hoses into your house and extinguished the flame, you would say, indeed, that is most appropriate behavior. But if on a day when there was no fire, those same men and the same hoses were to enter your house spraying water around, you would say, indeed, that was not appropriate. And so it is with the laws that you are passing one from another. Most of them are not appropriate to that which you are now living. If you had not intended growth, you would not be here in this physical life experience. And if that which was figured out long ago was the ultimate, then there would be no reason for your existence today. You are here as an expanding, ever-changing, growth-seeking being because you are wanting to add unto that which you understand, and you are wanting to add unto that which all that is understands. Now let us talk about the deliberate creative process. How are you getting what you are getting? You are attracting through thought. In short, you get what you think about. And so as we offer those words, as you are receiving them and accepting them, you say, indeed, I have a very great task, for my thoughts are coming very fast. And to monitor my thoughts would be a very difficult thing to do. We are in agreement. Monitoring your thoughts would be very time-consuming. And most would not be able to do much deliberate creating when you are spending most of your time monitoring your thoughts. And that is the reason that we have introduced to you, before we have begun the process, your guidance system, the emotional communication from your inner being. For if you will pay attention to the way that you are feeling, then a monitoring of thoughts is not so necessary. Know that when you are feeling good, you are speaking or thinking or acting in accordance with your intentions. And that when you are feeling bad, you are not. When there is negative emotion present within you, you are in that moment miscreating, either through your thought or through your word or through your action. And so the combination of being more clear about what you intend and a sensitivity to the way you feel, that is in essence what the deliberate creative process is all about. The big question that usually comes up at this point of our discussion is, Abraham, how do I know that what comes forth from within me may be trusted? Is there not one greater than I who makes the rules, who wants me to be or do specific things? And we say, you are the creator of your experience, and you have emerged forth into this physical body by the power of your wanting. You are not here to prove yourself worthy of something else. You are not here because you seek greater salvation on some other plane. You are here because you have specific purpose in being here, and all that you do pleases that which you seek to please. There is not a list of things that are right and a list of things that are wrong. However, there are those things that are appropriate and inappropriate, and you may trust your guidance that comes forth from within to help you know when you are doing that which is appropriate and that which is inappropriate. There is a great and powerful law in your universe. In fact, it exists in all universes. And in fact, it is the most powerful of all laws, and it is the law of attraction. That which is likened to itself is drawn. Thoughts that are similar are drawn magnetically one to another through the power of this law. People who feel a certain way are drawn to one another magnetically through this law. Indeed, the very thoughts that you think are drawn one and to the other, until a very small or insignificant and unpowerful thought may, because of your focus upon it, grow to be very powerful. You are each powerful magnets, attracting unto you more of the way that you feel at any point in time. This law of attraction is responsible for much that you see that is obvious in your life experience. You have coined many phrases because of your understanding, in part, of this law. You say that birds that are of like feather flock together. You say the better it gets, the better it gets, and the worse it gets, the worse it gets. You say this day started out bad and ended up much, much worse. But even as you are saying these things, you are not really understanding how powerful the law of attraction is. And so here on this recording, we will express it in many different ways, that you may understand how it is that you are attracting everything into your life experience. We say unto you, there is not another who creates in your experience. You are doing it all. You get all of the credit. And we will also say to you, that as you are hearing these words and then you are looking around your life experience, at your own experience and at those who are near you, you will find not a shred of evidence that is to the contrary of these powerful laws that we are expressing here to you. You will notice an absolute correlation between what you are thinking and speaking and what you are getting. And you will notice it with others. In fact, it is sometimes easier to see with others. Have you not noticed that those who speak most of illness have more of it? Have you not noticed that those who speak more of poverty or of prosperity have more of it? As you understand that your thoughts are magnetic, and as you understand that they will attract more and more that are likened to them until they become more powerful, can you not see that as you think about something that you do not want, that if you allow yourself to stay focused upon that thought, that you will attract more and more thoughts that are likened to it? In fact, that thought will grow so powerful that you may find yourself reaching into your past experiences for examples that are similar. And then you may find yourself speaking about it to another, who then will reach into their past experience to bring forth more. And they will bring more and more until eventually you find yourself absolutely surrounded by thoughts and words that are in the direction of that which you do not want. If you are sensitive to the way that you are feeling, you will not feel good through all of that. You will have a sort of raw donut, a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, for your inner being will be saying to you all the while, you are thinking and speaking about that which you do not want. Your inner being understands the law of attraction. Your inner being understands that while you are thinking and speaking of these things, that you are in fact a magnet attracting circumstances and events and other beings unto you. And that soon you will have in your experience the very thing that you are speaking about that you do not want. And in like manner, if you are speaking of that which you do want, your thoughts will be drawn more unto that. You will draw more others who are wanting to talk about that. And all the while you are speaking of what you do want, your inner being will offer you that positive emotion to let you know that you are in harmony and that that which you are attracting is in harmony with the intentions that you hold. The law of deliberate creation is a delicately balanced law, and it has two parts. On the one hand, there is the thought of what you are wanting, and on the other hand, there is the expectation or belief or allowing of what you have created through thought into your experience. And so you say, I want a new red car. You have literally, through thought, set forth the beginning of the creation of that red car in your experience. The more clarity you give to that thought, the more you are able to imagine that red car within your experience, the more excited about it you will be. And the more excited or the more positive emotion that comes forth as you think about your red car, then the faster that red car is coming into your experience. Once you have created it through thought, it has been created, it now exists. And in order to have it in your experience, you have only to allow it. And you do that by expecting it, by believing it, and by letting it be. What we see for most of you is a stifling of your creation. Right in the beginning, you say, I want a new red car, which begins the creation of it. And then you add, but it is too expensive, which literally cancels the creation. In other words, you are doing one part of the creating in your wanting, but you are eliminating the creation of that which you are wanting by not believing or by not expecting, by not allowing. And so both parts of this process are necessary in order to bring your creations into your physical experience. Sometimes we see that you have created masterfully. You have given much thought and much excited emotion or anticipation to what you are wanting. And in the beginning, you remain expectant. And as you are excitedly, expectantly thinking of that which you've created in thought, it is on its way to you. But then you express your desire to another who begins to tell you all of the reasons why it cannot be or why it should not be. And then you begin to focus upon the lack of what you want instead of upon the subject of what you want. And while it may seem as if it is the same, there is a very great difference. For as you are focused upon the subject of your desire, you are attracting it. As you are focused upon the lack of your desire, you are pushing it away. And so as you say, I want a new red car, and I know it is coming to me, it is. But as you are saying, but where is it? I've wanted it for a very long time. I believed Abraham, but the things that I want are not coming. Now you are not focused upon what you are wanting. Now you are focused upon the lack of what you are wanting, and you are getting, by the law of attraction, what you are focused upon. If you focus upon the car that you want, you attract the car that you want. If you focus upon the lack of the car that you want, you attract more of the lack. Seems a very subtle difference, but it is a very great difference. And if you are paying attention to the way that you are feeling, you will know if you are focused upon what you want or upon the lack of it. For when you think of what you want, you feel good. When you think of the lack of what you want, you feel bad. As you say, I am wanting the dollars to support my lifestyle. There are things that I am wanting that I do not now have. You are attracting the dollars, but as you focus upon the things that you want that you do not have, noticing the lack, you are pushing the dollars away. Here is an exercise that will assist you in your deliberate creating. Take three separate pieces of paper, and at the top of each page, write one thing that you want. Now take your first paper, and beneath the subject of what you are wanting, write, "These are the reasons that I want this." Write whatever comes to your mind, whatever flows forth naturally. Do not try to force it. And when nothing more comes, you are complete for now. Turn the paper over and begin writing at the top of the paper, "These are the reasons that I believe that I will have this that I want." The first side of your paper is enhancing what you are wanting, the first side of the equation. The second side of the paper is enhancing your belief that you will have it. And as you have written why you want what you want and why you know that you will have what you want, you have set forth and are now expecting and therefore will receive the subject of your wanting. All that is necessary is that you want it and keep expecting it until you have it, and it will be yours. In this exercise, we are encouraging that you select only three things that you are wanting, for there will be more power of focus. Eventually, once you are understanding the process, you will be able to simultaneously create in many directions. Before, you will experience something in your physical life experience. You must first give thought to it. Your thought is the invitation, and without it, it will not come. We are encouraging intentional deciding of what is wanted, and then intentional giving of thought to those things that are wanted, while you are intentionally not giving thought to those things that are not wanted. And in suggesting this, we encourage that you set forth some time in every day where you sit and intentionally bring together your thoughts into a sort of vision of what you are wanting in your life experience. We have been referring to this time as your workshop for deliberate creating. If we were to say, "Go now and begin to envision yourself in the life experience that you are wanting," many of you would have a difficult time doing it, for you have not been intentionally collecting data in which to work upon in your workshop. By collecting data, what we are encouraging is that in every day, as you are getting out of bed, that you set forth an intention that no matter what you are doing in this day, no matter who you are interacting with in this day, that you will let your dominant intention be to look for things that you like. Whatever it is that you see, with whoever you are interacting with, if you are intending to look for things that you like, then you will be effectively and deliberately collecting data. Tomorrow, when you decide to take 15 or 20 minutes to go to your workshop, which is the place where all deliberate creating begins, you can bring together the combinations of that data to begin envisioning yourself in your life as you want to be. We have told you that your thoughts are magnetic. But we are wanting to add a point of clarification here, for we are wanting you to know that while every thought has creative potential, that the thoughts that do not have great emotion at same time are not bringing into your experience with any sort of speed the subject of your thought. In other words, that which you are emotional about, whether it is positive emotion or negative emotion, those thoughts are quickly manifesting into your physical experience. The emotion that you feel is your communication, letting you know that you have now accessed the power of the universe. That power from the universe comes forth when you are clearest in your thought. If you go to a horror movie, and as you are sitting there in the theater looking upon the screen at all of the detail that is offered with the color and the sound, you are at that time in a negative workshop. For as you are envisioning all of that that you do not want to see, The emotion that you feel is your inner being saying to you, you are seeing something that is so vivid that the universe is now offering power unto it. When you leave the theater, fortunately, you usually say it was only a movie, and so you do not expect, you do not believe it will happen to you, and so you do not complete the second part of the equation. You have given thought to it with emotion, and so you have created it, but you do not allow it into your experience because you do not really expect it. However, as you are walking out, if your friend says to you, it may only be a movie, but it happened to me, then you may begin pondering that thought, and you may bring yourself to belief or expectation that that will happen to you, and then it will. Giving thought on the one hand and expecting or believing on the other hand is the balance that brings to you that which you receive. If you are wanting and expecting, it will be yours very soon. However, it is not often that you have achieved a balance in this process where your wanting and your expecting are equal. Sometimes your wanting is very high, but your belief is not there at all. For example, the mother whose child is trapped beneath the automobile, she does not believe that she can lift that heavy vehicle from her child, but her wanting is so extreme that she does. There are many examples where your belief is high, but your wanting is not so high. Creation of illness, such as cancer, is that sort of example, where your belief in it is very keen, while your wanting is not. Many of you find yourself in what we would term a negative workshop many times in a day. In fact, much more often are you in a negative workshop than in a positive workshop. There is more predominance of negative belief that surrounds you. And so it is by natural process that you find yourself pondering negatively rather than positively. As you are sitting at your desk with your stack of bills beside you, feeling the tension, even the fear, because there is not enough money to pay the bills, or at least not enough to pay the bills and do the things you are really wanting to do. And as you sit there giving thought that there is not enough money, you are in the perfect position for the creating of more of what you do not want. And the way you feel about it is your signal from inner being saying to you that that which you are thinking is not in harmony with what you are wanting. Now let us summarize all that we have offered here, that you may have a clear and definite plan for the deliberate control of your life experience. First, recognize that you are more than you see here in this physical body, that there is a broader, wiser, certainly older part of you that remembers all that you have lived and, more importantly, knows that which you now are. And from that broader, all-encompassing perspective can offer you clear and absolute information as to the appropriateness of that which you are doing or speaking or thinking, or to that which you are about to do or about to speak. If you will set forth the intentions that are yours at this time, then your guidance system can work even more effectively, for it has the ability to include all of the data, all of your desires, all of your intentions, all of your beliefs, and compare it with what you are doing or what you are about to do to give you absolute guidance. As you recognize that this guidance system is yours, then as you are moving through your day, be sensitive to the way that you are feeling. And whenever you find yourself feeling negative emotion, the negative emotion means you are negatively creating. Negative emotion exists only when you are miscreating. And so when you recognize you are having negative emotion, no matter why, no matter how it got there, no matter what the situation is, stop doing whatever it is that you are doing and put your thoughts upon what you are wanting. Now for the deliberate creating. Spend time, 15 or 20 minutes in every day is quite enough, where you sit quietly, undisturbed and not distracted by that which is around you, where you can think or daydream about your life, seeing yourself as you are wanting to be, seeing yourself surrounded by that which pleases you, thinking and being and doing as you most want to be. You are a sort of magnet, and the way that you feel about you is your strong and powerful magnetic point of attraction. When you feel poor, you cannot attract prosperity. When you feel fat, you cannot attract thin. When you feel lonely, you cannot attract companionship. It defies law, you see. And so you say, but Abraham, this is what is. And we say, you live in a world that wants to point out what is reality. They say to you, face the facts, look at what is. And we say to you, if you are able to see only what is, by law of attraction, you will create only more of what is. You must be able to put your thoughts beyond what is in order to attract what you are wanting. A clear and emotional view of reality will root you like a tree to this spot. But a clear, happy vision of what you are wanting will begin attracting circumstances and events and other beings into your life to bring you to what you are wanting rather than to what you are getting. Now, of course, there may be much in your life that you are liking just as it is. Continue to see it that way, you see. Thoughts with emotion are what will affect change in your life. Thoughts that you think with no emotion will maintain what is already here. And so for those things that are in your life experience that you have created, you were emotional at one time or they would not be here in your life, those things you will be able to keep in your life simply by acknowledging your appreciation of them. But those things that you do not yet have that you want very much, you must give clear, conscious, deliberate, emotional thought to attract those things. The workshop, as we have just described it, creates that first half of the equation for deliberate creating that we have been speaking about. You have given thought, enough thought, that perhaps not on the first sitting, but eventually if you are giving enough thought, pondering long enough, mulling long enough, absorbing and including enough of the data, you will bring yourself to enough clarity that the universe, indeed your inner being, will offer you emotion. And once you have done that, one half of the deliberate creative process is complete. The other half is accomplished by moving through your day expecting to see evidence or results of what you have accomplished in your workshop. As you spend more time thinking about what you have decided that you want, so much so that you get excited about it, you have launched the creation, and then you have only to expectantly watch for the results, and you will find more and more of the things that you have been wanting flooding into your experience. It is law. Have gathered some questions from many.
Yes, I sure have. First, before we get into the questions, tell me, do these laws that you speak of, these universal laws, work even when we don't believe that they work?
They do indeed. You are doing it even when you are not knowing you are doing it. That is why there is creating by default. You cannot turn your creative mechanism off. It is always functioning. And the laws are always functioning. That is why there is such value in understanding the laws. Not understanding them is a little bit like coming into a game where you are not knowing the rules. And as you are playing the game, You do not know why you're getting what you're getting. And that sort of game becomes frustrating, and most leave it, you see.
And so, how would you tell a person how to not get what they don't want?
Do not think about it. Do not give thought to that which you do not want, for your attention to it attracts it. The more you think about it, the more emotion comes forth,